The story of Mert and Marg. In our last episode, Clarence rushed into the dressing room and announced excitedly that Ray had been badly hurt in an auto accident. Mert hurried to Ray's side the moment she heard the news. Fortunately, she discovered that Ray's injuries were slight, so her wild dash only served to show that she was still in love. Margie, meanwhile, has also been having her romantic complications. In a moment, we'll see what new surprises there might be in today's chapter of The Story of Mert and Marge. Mert and Marge have just come into the Hayfield Theater the next morning. Sonny Darnell is looking through the mail at the rack next to the stage door. Mert says to him,
"Why, hello, Sonny. How's God's gift to the Bobby Soxers?"
"Oh, I'm fine, Mert. Hi, Margie. You sure look right in the groove this morning."
"Oh, so do you, Sonny. I mean, you're at the theater awfully early."
"Well, I came over to play a new melody I dreamed up. Mr. Hayfield said he might put it in the show. Want to hear it?"
"Oh, sure I do."
"Come on, Margie. I'll play it for you now."
"Well, what's the name of it, Sonny?"
"Well, I haven't got a title, but I know it's got to be a love song, and there's no lyric written for it yet. But if the song is good enough, Dixie Lane will sing it. Gee, Margie, I bet you could sing it as well as she could."
"Well, I'll leave you two kids alone. I'll meet you in the dressing room later, Margie."
"Oh, all right, Myrtle. I'll be down in a few minutes."
"Did you get my letter, Margie?"
"Well, yes, but why did you write when you see me every day?"
"Oh, well, it just seemed the sort of a romantic thing to do, and I'm kind of crazy."
"Well, what about that tune, Sonny?"
"Oh, yes. Here it is."
"Oh, Sonny, that's beautiful."
"Thanks, Margie. I wish you'd help me write a lyric."
"Have you got the verse?"
"No, just the music for the chorus."
"Oh, you have to have a verse."
"Well, let's see. I'll noodle around with a tune."
"You're writing a love song, and you've got the melody."
"Oh, it must be a love song for you and me."
"Something different, something musical."
"Can't think of a lyric. It's so confusing."
"With 16 bars of notes before us."
"Let's skip the verse. Write the chorus."
"I love you.
That's the way to start a love song.
I love you. If you see stage lovers passing,
you'll always find them in the proper setting.
Painted moon, a canvas sky,
and he's thrilled with a look in his eyes.
Then into his arms, her gaze unsteady,
and then comes the cue. You know that I love you. Yes, I love you."
"And believe me, Margie, I do love you."
"Oh, I've got to go now, Sonny. Myrtle wants me in the dressing room."
"Hey, wait for me. I'll walk you down."
"Well, all right."
"Marge.
Look, Myrtle and I have so much to do. We've got to go shopping and..."
"Oh, Margie,
well, you see, my folks are coming down and..." "Oh, well, here we are. Are you in, Myrtle?"
"In here, Margie." "Oh, hello, Sonny. Clarence and I have some work to do."
"Well,
we've still got a few minutes. Why don't you kids relax?"
"Swell.
See you later then, huh?" Well, as I was saying, Clarence, it certainly was a relief to learn that Ray wasn't badly hurt. You can imagine my feelings when you rushed in and told me he was in a bad way."
"Oh, I can imagine, Mert. I have a fine imagination, you know, and I'm definitely the understanding type." "Oh, yes, indeed."
"Clarence, sometimes I wonder about you."
"Oh, I have a soul, dearie. I've got a terrific soul."
"I guess so. Say, when are you going to drape this thing? I'm all ready."
"Oh, right now. It goes like this, over the shoulder."
"Oh, what gorgeous material. Silver net and sequins. I'd like that myself.
Say, you'd do it justice, too, Mert. You've got a divine chassis, dearie, the best in the show.
Clarence, how do you know?
That's my business. After all, I've been hanging costumes and things on you dames for years and years. None of you gorgeous creatures can fool me, you know.
Well, while you're at it, why don't you hang something on me besides a bead here and there? Why don't you make me a costume with a long skirt?
And lose my job? Not me, Bedelia.
Ouch! You're sticking me with those pins, Clarence.
Oh, Myrtle.
Yes, Margie?
Oh, Myrtle, what a beautiful costume. Whose is it?
It's for Vivian, our dear premier danseuse. I've been modeling for Clarence. He thinks I'm a human pincushion.
Now, be careful, Myrtle. I don't want it to fall apart.
Ouch! Hey, you're taking part of me with it.
Oh, say, Myrtle, what are you going to do for a little while?
Why, nothing in particular. Why?
Well, do you care if I... Well, I... Well, Sonny wants to know if I can go shopping with him. He wants to buy his mother a birthday present.
Well, go ahead, dear. I'll meet you at the apartment. Now, be careful, Margie. Remember what I said. Don't concentrate on one. You know, kid, the heart and the sleeve business.
You should tell me. Oh, I forgot. Mr. Arnold's up on the stage.
Well, I'll see him and ask him when you and I can consult him on that little matter we talked over last night.
Oh, will you, Myrtle? I'll be anxious to hear what he says.
Well, don't you want to see him, too?
Well, I'll see him tomorrow. And I told Sonny if you didn't care, I'd go with him.
Well, go ahead, dear.
All right, I will. Bye, Myrtle.
Bye.
Well, thanks, Myrtle. You saved my life.
Well, that's fine, Clarence.
Okay, I've got to rush now. Ta-ta.
Bye, Clarence. I'll be seeing you.
Oh, Myrtle.
Oh, hello, Jack. Come on in.
Hey, Margie told me you were down here.
Yes, I've been modeling for Clarence. He stuck so many pins in me, I feel like a sieve.
Where was Margie bound for with the handsome Sonny Darnell?
Oh, they're going shopping.
Oh, looks like I got the brush off.
Oh, Margie doesn't know her own mind. I told her you were an old man of 33 summers, or should I say winters.
Well, thanks. Summers will do.
Anyway, she thinks you are very interesting.
Well, that's something. And someday, when our Margie grows up, may I have your permission to court her, if I am so inclined?
Oh, if you are inclined.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jack, only old man time can answer that question. By the way, what brings you backstage at this time of day?
Oh, I came over to meet Ray Hunt. We're going to lunch. Would you join us? I'll buy you a very nice lunch.
No, thanks. I don't want to see Ray Hunt, let alone talk to him.
Well, I'd like to talk to you, like a Dutch uncle.
Well, get it out of your system. Oh, just a minute before you start, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
May we see you sometime tomorrow? Margie and I have something we'd like to consult you about. Legal business, so, of course, we'd want to pay you.
Oh, now, don't be silly, Myrtle.
There's nothing silly about it, Jack. It's a very serious matter we want to talk about.
Well, I'm very curious.
Could you come over to my apartment and have lunch with us tomorrow before matinee? Say 12 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. I'll be there on the dot.
Good. Okay. Shoot with this Dutch uncle lecture or what have you.
Oh, Myrtle, why won't you see Ray and talk with him?
Well, you know the answer. He's married.
Well, this business he and I are to talk over is his wife business. Now, if you won't listen to him, will you let me tell you his side of the story?
Oh, it doesn't interest me, but I suppose I'll have to listen.
Well, Myrtle, 15 years ago, Ray Hunt married a woman much older than himself. They went along fairly well for about 3 years. During those first 3 years, she occupied herself by going in for queer fads and spending every cent of Ray's money she could get her hands on.
Yeah, I admit the time. Go on.
Well, then Ray got to be a big-time director. And Mrs. Hunt developed a bad health complex and enjoyed it thoroughly.
Uh-oh.
She had to be sent to health resorts and expensive watering places, and she was always bleeding Ray of his money and giving the impression that she was the poor, abused wife, but never forgetting for 1 minute to keep her weather eye on Hunt, or rather his bankroll. Mm-hmm. Now, she hasn't lived with Ray for years, and she's played the invalid so long that now she believes it herself.
Well, that kind of woman lives on and on.
She's cheated Ray out of 15 years of his life, and she keeps on bleeding him.
Why doesn't he get a divorce?
Well, Myrtle, this is New York State. Divorce laws are very strict, and, well, Ray would never stoop to collusion.
What's that?
A wrongful agreement, or you might say, framed evidence.
Oh. Well, I do feel sorry for him.
Myrtle, you feel more than sorrow. You love Ray Hunt, and you know it. I believe you're his first real romance, and he's...
Married.
Yeah. Yes, it's a tough situation, huh? I just wonder if you two can stand the gaff.
It's tough, all right. She's too mean to die. I just started to live again. She has him and doesn't want him. I want him. Can't have him.
Myrtle, that must make you
an elk.
Heard the story of Ray Hunt's unfortunate marriage. But though she's a little more sympathetic towards him, she still accepts only one fact, that a married man is not for her. As for Sonny Darnell's ardent expression of his love for Margie, well, we wonder if Margie will really take him seriously. Our two heroines have quite a few complicated romantic problems to solve in the next fascinating episode in the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking. Thank you.